Time for a Gaza Corner. We do it around 11-ish every Saturday night. And I try to bring something to your attention that maybe is new to you or a different perspective. And they're always posted at the Tangents website, so you can always get a heads up on it if you want to check out what's there. And I excerpt a little bit of each article. The articles that are posted at tangents.com, here are the headlines. Israel's stolen babies remains the state's darkest secret. That written by Jonathan Cook, an opinion piece that appeared in The National, which is a newspaper in the United Arab Emirates. Also, a number of Haaretz articles, because Haaretz was really at the forefront of investigating the abducted babies 20 years ago and now as well. One article, Time for Israel to Admit the Yemenite Children Were Systematically Kidnapped. Another one, Hundreds of Yemenite Children Were Abducted in State's Early Years, says Israeli National Security Minister. Another article that I link, Who's Responsible for Disappearance of 1,000 Children in Israel? Inquiry Fails to Say. And also, kind of a related article, Dozens of Ashkenazi babies mysteriously disappeared during Israel's early years. And I just found a Washington Post article. I was curious if there were any Western papers that were covering this. This is not linked, but it's the headline, A 70-Year-Old Mystery, Yemenite Jews Say Young Relatives Were Stolen in Israel. There's really no doubt about it. If you go to the Tangents website, you'll see three photos. The first one is of an elderly Israeli Jew of Moroccan descent holding a picture of her baby, who she says was abducted in 1958 near Tel Aviv. I will be using information from all the articles that I mentioned, but leaning more on Jonathan Cook's piece. I think he's an outstanding freelance journalist. He's based in Nazareth in Israel. And last month, the Israeli National Security Minister, Tzachi Hanegbi, became the first Israeli government official to admit that hundreds of babies had been stolen from their mothers in the years immediately following Israel's creation in 1948. And Jonathan Cook and many journalists and others do believe the real number is actually more in the thousands, not the hundreds. For nearly seven decades, all the Israeli governments and three public inquiries said nothing about this horrific incident. A writer by the name of Yael Zatok in Haaretz said, quote, "Never has there been a commission of inquiry in Israel which has gone to such great lengths to pursue a clear objective of not finding anything. Behind the scenes of this commission, there was an apparatus meant to conceal evidence, one which would do honor to any totalitarian state." That's a quote. "Archives were destroyed, documents falsified, witnesses threatened. Families were thrice betrayed, once by the powerful, violent, and arrogant establishment of the 1950s, then by the courts, and finally by the media. Three power hubs, which in a democracy are supposed to sustain a system of checks and balances, instead embraced each other in a hug," unquote. Naturally, the commissions denied there had been any wrongdoing, as the establishment, the media, the courts colluded to hide the truth about the abducted babies, which, of course, finding out about it would dismantle the Zionist narrative of the miraculous state of Israel, moral and gracious and a haven for all Jewish immigrants, which is not the case. If you want to learn more about the commissions, the article that's linked at the homepage called Who's Responsible for Disappearance of 1,000 Children in Israel? Inquiry Fails to Say. That article really goes into detail on the final commission and what a joke it was. If the issue of the missing Yemenite children did not involve an ethnic as well as a criminal angle, you know, it would have been resolved a long time ago. But who would admit many Jewish children were abducted from their parents by other Jews? This has racist overtones, and happening right after the Holocaust, this would, you know, it's maybe not shocking that the evidence was destroyed and the public was lied to for 60 years. But as the articles really, are very persuasive in, and also, as I said, the minister himself admits that the children were abducted, and these were deliberate and systematic. As more and more families have recently come forward to reveal their suffering, and particularly utilizing social media to do so, the government narrative became increasingly ridiculous, just implausible. For example, when a woman gives birth, these were parts of testimonials, when a woman gives birth to a healthy baby who was shown to her, and right after that, a doctor comes in and tells her that since she pressed too hard, the baby was stillborn. You don't need, you know, a high school diploma to realize that the baby was kidnapped. When 40 babies are sent together from a transit camp to Jerusalem for immunization and they never return, any reasonable person understands what happened was not immunization. And if three Yiddish speakers arrive at the baby dorms at a camp known as Ayin Shemer in the evening hours after most staff members and mothers have gone, and they collect babies from their cribs before disappearing forever, a pattern emerges of a covert and comprehensive scheme. Jonathan Cook reports as many as 8,000 babies were seized from their families in Israel's first years of existence and either sold or handed over to children of Jewish couples in Israel and abroad. Some were Holocaust survivors who received the children. It's really an open question whether Israeli hospitals and welfare organizations acted on their own or connived with the state, but it's really hard. I mean, it would be impossible to imagine such mass abductions could have occurred without officials at a minimum turning a blind eye. You think if the government had nothing to hide, it would place documents relating to these children under a lock until the year 2071. I kid you not. Most of these documents are locked until 2071, or now there's a movement to not have that be, but obviously they have something to hide. So, you know, I think a lot of people who know about the formation of Israel and the Nakba, the catastrophe which forced 750,000 Palestinians to be expelled from their homeland in 1948, that is known, and it's hard to shock people that know about this. But when we're talking about stolen babies, that these are crimes committed not against Palestinians, but crimes committed against other Jews. This is shocking. And Jonathan Cook in his article points out the kidnapping of the children and the mass expulsion of the Palestinians at much the same time are not unrelated. It's very interesting. He points out that the babies scandal sheds light not only on Israel's past, but on its present. The stolen babies were not randomly seized. It was a very specific group that was targeted. The Mizraim, the Jews of Yemen, Iraq, Morocco, Tunisia, but three-quarters of them were from Yemen. And to provide some historical context, some 50,000 immigrants from Yemen arrived in Israel between 1948 and 1954. It was an operation that was called Operation on Wings of Eagles, or some people called it Operation Magic Carpet. The vast majority of those who disappeared were infants. And according to the statistical data, there were 5,824 immigrants from Yemen from birth to 4 years old. And if you do the math, of every eight infants, one disappeared. And to really grasp this, I mean, this will blow you away, but in today's terms, it's as though 100,000 infants had vanished in Israel during the past 5 years. This is what we're talking about. The Arabness of these Jews from Yemen were viewed as a direct threat to the Jewish state's survival, almost as much of a threat as the presence of Palestinians. So Israel set about de-Arabizing these Middle Eastern Jews with the same determination which they had used in driving out 750,000 Palestinians. In 1948, it's hard to overestimate the depth of racism toward immigrants from Yemen felt by the leaders of the Jewish community, among them the very first prime minister, David Ben-Gurion. Ben-Gurion was from Eastern Europe. He accepted the racist colonial notion that was prevalent in Europe, that he regarded European Jews as kind of civilized and the Jews of the Middle East as primitive. And the early European Zionists were not really simply colonists. They were, you know, unlike the British in India, for example, who were interested in subduing the natives and you know, exploiting their resources, the Zionists were coming not only to defeat the indigenous people in Palestine, but to replace them. They were going to build their Jewish state on the ruins of Arab society in Palestine. Academics call, when you intend to create a permanent homeland on another people's land, the phrase is settler colonialism. European settlers are the champs at it. I mean, just look at North America, look at Australia, look at South Africa. And the Israeli historian Ilan Pape has observed that settler colonial movements are distinguished from ordinary colonialism by what he calls the logic of elimination, which propels them. Such groups have to adapt strategies of extreme violence toward the indigenous population to achieve their goals. It could be genocide. That happened right in our country, Native American peoples. It happened with the Aborigines in Australia. It could be segregation, which happened in South Africa. It could be large-scale ethnic cleansing, as I explained that Israel did in 1948, where I would argue that Israel has employed elements of all three. And Ben-Gurion needed not only to destroy Palestinian society, but he had to ensure that Arabness did not creep into his new Jewish state kind of through the back door. So large numbers of Arab Jews who arrived in that first decade were needed in the demographic war against the Palestinians, but the belief was that the second generation could be cleansed and more Jewish, and this was the incentive to steal these children. It's really amazing that 70 years later, it's now coming out, you know, more fully. They believe that these children could be reformed, their Arabness could be reformed through education, and they could be kind of de-Arabized.